plate a potential nugget.
Over your career, I'm sure you've seen several instances where criminals have turned a corner and have become improved human beings. What have you learned about driving mindset change in humans? You know, in your case, you probably see a very, in a way, it's almost like very often a 180 degree turn, right? Where people, for a set of reasons, end up committing a crime. But I'm sure over your career, you've also seen people who've reformed and have turned the corner. So do you have a sense of what it takes to transform people?
Deepak, this question, I don't think I'm competent to answer. For the simple reason that it's very difficult to reform a hardened criminal. I don't think that I came across a case like that. That later in life I met a person who's reformed and he's become good. My experience is a little different. I can only talk about a petty criminal. He was a petty criminal and we needed a resource person. So sometimes these criminals only become your informers. So I thought that this man would become an informer. He's intelligent. So I used him to, mukbir. He's coming to give me information. And he did give me some very good information about some of the dacoities, etc., which had been committed. But very soon I heard, in so much so that I would allow him to come to my home office. When my home office was a very segregated place because of the children, and the children were always with me, I never allowed these kind of people to come to my house. Because you never know what they are coming. They may see the children. I'm living alone. Everybody knows that. I never allowed one. I so much so that this fellow would come to the gate and say that he has come. I would allow him to come to the office to give me information because he was giving very good information. One day I was told that this guy is collecting money on the highway with a country-made pistol. So I was quite taken aback. I was not very sure that, you know, the officers in charge are maybe putting me off track by telling me this experience, or maybe they feel that madam has now an upper hand. She comes to know about a criminal, about a crime even before we know, and she's on an upswing. So maybe he's saying like that. So the other people did not know that he was my informer. And but people were wondering how madam comes to know about these things. Where is her information coming? Because I have to on the basis of this information, I have to share with the officers in charge and my subordinates to reach those criminals about whom he's giving me information. So they came and said that this man is collecting money. Then I realized that they may be thinking that he's collecting money for me. Who knows, it can be interpreted like this. So I said, okay, well, if he's collecting money and you think he has a pistol, then you arrest him while he's collecting the money. And sure enough, this man was one day arrested on the highway with the pistol and the money. And these people brought him to the office with the pistol in his pocket. He was wearing a kurta and a dhoti. And he comes to the office with the pistol and the money in his hand. And he was very sheepish. He could not say anything. I said, I didn't also say anything to him. I said, just go and lock him up. So he was locked up. So I have really not come across any person who gets reformed. But I have heard that now there are organizations which reform criminals. And then I hear so many NGOs working in this field. But in my days, I could not come across any. I have no experience of this.
In my experience of having worked with leaders, I've realized that outcomes often depend on the mindset of the coachee rather than the skill set of the coach. Marshall Goldsmith, one of the experienced coaches out there, talks about it quite eloquently. When I spoke to him about his key to success, he attributed it to coachee selection.
So I made a chart on one dimension, time spent with Coach Marshall Goldsmith, and the other dimension is called improvement. There seemed to be a clear negative correlation between spending time with me and getting better. Well, I thought, well, this is kind of a humbling chart. I go talk to my client who I spent the least amount of time with and proved the most, Alan Mulally. Alan was CEO of the year in the United States. Unbelievable, probably the best leader in the world in the last 20 years, at least corporate leader. So I said, Alan, of all the people I coach, you improve the most and spent the least amount of time with you. I showed Alan my chart. I said, Alan, the way this chart looks, if you never met me, you'd really been good. So I said, Alan, what should I learn about coaching from you? He said, Marshall, you got one challenge, customer selection. You pick the right customer, you always win. You pick the wrong customer, you're never going to win. He said, don't make coaching about yourself and your own ego and how smart you think you are. Make it about the great people you work with and how proud you are of them. And he said, the CEO of Ford, my job wasn't that different. I don't design cars or build cars, sell cars. I get to have great people. And every day I tell myself, leadership's not about me, it's about them.
The one question I'm asking more and more at the outset these days is whether the coachee wants to put in the work. And if I'm not sure about it, I'm beginning to lean away from those opportunities. If you want to dig in more into this space, you might like the curated playlists, Driving Change or Coaching. You can just go to playtopotential.com and find these themes in the curated playlist section of the website.